the things that my wife always enjoyed or has still talked about since we left Noblesville, attending the church there at Noblesville, was the big arch window behind the platform. The reason why she liked it so much was on days like today, so that when the preacher's preaching and he's real boring, she can watch the snow come down. I've noticed that we don't have a window to see out up front, but there's plenty of side windows, and a lot of heads get turned to enjoy the snow coming down. Such a beautiful day. I'm not going to keep you long, I promise, this morning. I realize that there's so many things going on in our minds today that it's very, very difficult to focus. And I don't want to hound anybody, but nor do I want to stand up here and just hear myself talk. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might believe. He goes on to talk about the light. In the midst of darkness, and so many people did not accept the light because they loved darkness rather than light. They'd rather wander around in the midst of their darkness. But Jesus came to bring life, to bring light. The stories that are recorded, the different passages that are given to us to tell us this Christmas story, Luke's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, they're very familiar to us. Last Sunday, I looked at the thought that the Master is come, and he calleth for thee. And used as examples some of the people that were in the Christmas story, or that we think of that are in the Christmas story. In Luke's gospel, we see the shepherds. We see their reaction. We can read it and feel with them the excitement of the moment and the passion that must certainly be building within them. In Matthew's gospel, we can see and read about the wise men. The Magi, whatever they were, whatever their real life circumstance was or their occupation was. But they saw something that was out of the ordinary. Some scientists have claimed that they have turned back the solar system, all of the planets, the stars, everything that moves, whatever moves out in the solar system, they've turned it back. And they've turned it back, and they've turned it back to where there were three major light fixtures or planets. I don't know if all that's true or not, but it's an incredible thought. It's an incredible part of the story, how it came to be that three of them came together and exploded in light, as it were. And it didn't occur just once, but it occurred a couple, three times. Perhaps that's why they lost sight of the star, as it were, and then it reappeared. I don't know how all that worked. Doesn't really matter to me. But they must have really been intent on finding whatever was at the end of their journey. Because it appears that they had traveled quite some time. Some people say they traveled about a year. Some people would suggest that they traveled nearly 2 years, because it tells us in Matthew that that Herod's calculations based on what the wise men told him meant that the child could be possibly as much as 2 years old. Of course, he may have added on a couple of months to protect himself a little bit. But the two stories end in different ways. I can also go back into Luke's gospel and pick up with Anna again, because she fits into this same thought this morning. The wise men went home a different way. It really doesn't tell us any more than that. They just went home a different way because they had a vision from God saying, don't go back to Herod. So they went home a different way. But the shepherds, it tells us some more specifically what they did on their journey home. It seems as though they were full and overflowing. They were bubbling. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. What'd you get for Christmas yesterday? Or the day before, whenever it was that you had Christmas. What was the one thing that you got that you really, really wanted? Or maybe you hadn't thought you wanted it until you opened it up and realized how much it meant to you. How wonderful it was. Grandparents or parents, maybe it was something specific from a child or grandchild that didn't cost a whole lot, but it was meaningful. May have brought some tears to your eyes. And if I were to ask you this morning specifically what it is, what it was that meant the most to you, not allowing your family to hear because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings saying that this one meant more than the other one, not allowing anybody else to hear, but you could probably pick something out and you would be happy to talk about it as long as it didn't hurt anybody else's feelings that got you something else. Can you imagine what these shepherds must have been feeling? How exuberant they must have been, because these people, these men, went home rejoicing and praising God. Now, if we take a look at Anna in the same chapter, it seems as though she might have been as full as the shepherds, because it says, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Can I just broaden that a little bit? She might have been the president of the Redemption Club. Because there was a group of people that's what it says. There were some people that were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. And Anna made a point to go tell them, redemption has come. You see, the reason why the shepherds talked so much and rejoiced so much and Anna was so willing to go tell people about it was because they had been longing, they had been waiting, they had been excited about the possibility, and now that possibility had come to fruition and they left their place, wherever it was, and went and told and talked about it. Now let me back up here a little bit to the wise men and remind ourselves that they did not go. It doesn't seem that they went home talking big about what they had seen, because they had had a vision from God. They had a dream and said, don't go back to Herod. Go home a different way. Maybe they did do some whispering on the way. But it very well may be that they didn't do any talking to people around them at all. And perhaps it was simply because, had they talked to the right person, figuratively speaking, understand it's figuratively speaking, Jesus would have died by the hands of Herod. No, I don't believe that that could have happened. God was protecting him. God was working it all out. But figuratively speaking, had these wise men talked big and it got back to Herod where Jesus was, he could have had an inroad right there to kill the Christ child. I don't think we have that threat today. I don't believe that that's a possibility today. I don't believe that we can use that as an excuse today. I can't talk about it because if I do, Jesus might die. You know where I'm at now, don't you? We're at the end of a year. Another year as Jesus tarries is before us. And we are commanded to take the message of Christmas all year long to people around us, people that we meet. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 that we are to be more than just people in the midst of a world. He tells us that we are to be saturating the world with the message by the way that he said we are to be light and we are to be salt. That's not something that's just hid under a bushel or becomes ineffective and thrown out to be trodden over. But it's to be effective and used in its effect to be the broadcast element that we ought to be for the gospel. Every one of us here today have different aspects. We have disagreements as well. We believe this and we don't believe that, and we hold to this and we don't hold to that. And there's a time and a place for all of those. But the broad spectrum of our life is to tell the gospel, to give the gospel, to be exactly what Anna was and what the shepherds were in proclaiming that Jesus has come. Jesus has come. Redemption has come. So as we approach another year, that ought to be, that should be, let's make it a major part of our lives to tell other people that Jesus has come. Redemption has been brought to mankind. Let's stand together this morning. Let's tell the good news. It's grand, it's glorious, and it ought to stir us within, from deep within, bubbling over with joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Let's tell others. Mylon, would you just